This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Author A. Brad Schwartz will be in South Haven tonight. Coming up, Andy Robbins talks with Schwartz about his book Broadcast Hysteria, Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, and the Art of Fake News. But first, for 30 years, Fred Upton has served in Congress. The Republican representative is running again for re-election in the 6th Congressional District, which includes the southwest corner of Michigan. Fred Upton, thank you again for being here.
Always a pleasure. Really is.
Please reintroduce yourself to the audience.
Well, I'm Fred Upton. As you said, I've been in office, represented all of Kalamazoo County, actually since 1992. And I think folks know me pretty well. I'm home virtually every weekend. I think that I'm a pretty good listener. I have found often that folks don't really care if you have an R or a D next to your name for Republican or Democrat. They want the job done, and that's what I've done. I'm not afraid to support or oppose a president because of his party. And as I look at now, my colleagues, of course, elected me as chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, where we have arguably more jurisdiction than any other committee, and it's the oldest committee in the House. But proof is in the pudding in that we have passed more bills on the House floor than any other, all but a handful with bipartisan support. And the president signed some 150 measures or so into law, whether it be helping on Medicare, Social Security. Of course, our big issue right now that we're anxious to get done is 21st century cures. You and I have talked a lot about that. It's a bipartisan legislation to expedite the approval of drugs and devices. How can we get these drugs and devices that can save lives to market quicker? And of course, it's coupled with billions of dollars for health research. So you look at what the vice president announced earlier this week at the White House, Cancer Moonshot Initiative. There was a shout out to 21st Century Cures. That's our legislation that we fully expect to reach the Senate floor once the election is over. Mitch McConnell said a couple weeks ago that it would be the most significant piece of legislation enacted in this Congress. I think that he's right. Every family is impacted somehow. My mom's a cancer survivor. My wife has lupus. My dad has diabetes. My uncle who lived across the street died of Parkinson's. I'm no different than anybody else. Let's find a cure for these. Alzheimer's is going to, Medicare is going to spend $1 trillion in the year 2050. To take care of those with Alzheimer's. And I think as people think about me and my representation, they know that I've never had reservations about reaching to the other side of the aisle. I've been bipartisan in all that I've done. And, you know, for us, jobs in the economy still remain the number one concern. And just to close, I serve on Southwest Michigan First Board. We've got a meeting later this week. But, of course, the whole agenda is, what do we do to create more jobs here? How do we improve the quality of life and really want to make sure that families stay here?
Related to the economy, one of the issues that you and I have discussed frequently over the years is tax reform. You have said that the U.S. needs a kind of a full-scale rewrite of its tax code. One of the things we have apparently found out in the course of reading about Donald Trump's taxes is that he has gone many years apparently without paying any federal income tax. Now, is that something you want to fix? But at the same time, do you also want to have something in the tax code that allows someone a little leeway to take a risk, which apparently is what he has done here, is taken advantage of something which allows you to write off losses down the road?
Well, a couple of things. Overall question, do we need tax reform? Absolutely. Thousands of pages, terribly complicated. Most people need a CPA to help maneuver where things are. I presume that Mr. Trump probably has not just a couple of CPAs, but maybe a couple of buildings in Manhattan that are filled with them. And of course, he said in 2014 that he would release his tax returns, and he's not done so. So I don't pretend to be a tax expert or a tax attorney, but you know, there is this a minimum tax that people have to pay. I didn't realize you could take a loss for, you know, what's rumored to be 20 years of, you know, one big loss is what the New York Times suggested, and not able to pay income taxes for him for 20 years. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I don't think that's what the American people want to see happen either. The bottom line is, yes, we need tax reform. We need to make it simpler, fairer. I'm one that's in favor of lowering the rates, would note that in the debate that President Obama had with Mitt Romney 4 years ago, in the first debate in September, the president indicated that he was in support of lowering the corporate tax rate to 25% and eliminating a lot of the deductions. There aren't really incentives for companies to move overseas, but in fact, when taxes are so much lower overseas than here, particularly companies with a worldwide presence do tend to move overseas to pay that lower tax rate. I want to see tax rates lowered, made more competitive with the rest of the world, and create the jobs here. And that is what I think tax reform ought to look like. But as it relates to Mr. Trump's taxes, no one's really seen them. And I'm one that called, as every presidential candidate has done, to release their taxes.
The question I guess I'm getting at, though, is when you hear that someone can go that long without paying federal income tax, is that something that you would want to address?
I think it should be. I don't think there were a lot of people, me included, that thought that you could take a 20-year loss on 1 year's loss. It was the first that a lot of us had ever heard of that.
10 years ago, President Bush gave a rather famous speech in which he said America is addicted to oil. Are we any less addicted to oil in 2016 than we were then?
Oh, we made some great progress. You know, when President Obama was sworn in, the gas price was $3.84. Today, driving up here, it's $2.04. Pretty, you know, inflation, everything else. So we've done a lot. We've done a lot to make America more energy independent. A lot of that has happened because of new technologies. I was with some farmers earlier in the week, and I can remember when they were, you know, corn and everything else, you've got to dry that to store it. Often it's used with natural gas. The natural gas prices today are not even a third what they were 10 or 15 years ago. For a lot of us, we heat our homes with natural gas. We now produce electricity. That's gone a big part in replacing some of our coal plants, not only in Michigan, but across the country. And now President Obama signed the language that we moved out of our committee that actually allows us to export oil, export crude. We're exporting hundreds of thousands of barrels every day. We've gone a long way. We've created lots of jobs. And on the energy front, we are a lot more secure than we ever were before because of some of the policies that we've pursued on a bipartisan basis that I've helped lead through the Congress.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans speaking with Congressman Fred Upton, who is running for re-election in the 6th Congressional District, which includes the southwest corner of Michigan. As someone who has been called upon in the past to vote to authorize the use of force, when do you see U.S. interests being at stake, and when do you see that threshold being crossed where you say, yes, that means that the U.S. has to deploy forces?
Well, you know, the last time we had that vote, of course, was with Iraq. I participated in the classified briefings, and we also knew that in the case of Iraq, Saddam Hussein was violating all the agreements that he had signed off on as part of the UN agreement after the first incursion there. And, you know, for me, you know, I visited our troops so overseas. I've been with them in South Korea. I've been with them in Germany. Obviously, here in the United States, at a number of bases as well. I see them when they are deployed, often leaving from here or coming back home. I have a veteran that works on my staff who is in Afghanistan and who does my veterans work. And my nephew was in the Navy on a nuclear attack sub. And my brother-in-law recently retired a few years ago now, Air Force, 27 years as a pilot. He was in a number of different hotspots around the world. So you think about them, you think about their families who sacrifice here, family members at home. And so they're very grave decisions that one makes. They're in classified settings. They're always bipartisan. Whether it's the Secretary of Defense or the head of the CIA or someone else will come and testify, they'll take questions. We're under oath not to report those things. But, you know, it's something that each of us takes with a lot of time and thought before we vote to do that.
So let me ask you.
In the case of Iraq, let me just say this. The information that we were given was inaccurate.
So knowing everything you know now would you cast a different vote?
I would have. And I've said that for some time, that the information that was provided to us in classified briefings that they were establishing chemical weapons was not true. And had we had the right evidence, not only would my vote have been different, but I'm convinced that the Congress's vote would have been different as well. Now, what do you do then with someone like Saddam, who was violating all the agreements, was shooting at, remember it was a no-fly zone over Baghdad, this takes us all back a number of years. What do you do? Well, yeah, I think you have to get together again, the coalition of countries, to put pressure, whether it's embargoes or other things, to try and pressure him to take a different course and one that he had agreed to at some point before.
You called for Donald Trump to step aside after his comments about women were made public. As he noted, those comments were over a decade old. So why was that a tipping point for you as opposed to many of the things he actually said while campaigning for president?
Well, I've taken him to task a number of times over some of the things that he said. Muslims was one. I want to say that was back in February or so, a number of different cases. You know, it's he won the Republican nomination fair and square. He did. And that was back in May. And generally, and I say this for both parties, generally what happens is the candidate will appeal to their base. They lock it up. And then they move, some would say, to the center, but they move to expand their support.
The pivot, people call it.
Pivot. It's a good word. So that they can win in November. But they garner more support. This is the strangest, oddest election that I have ever seen. And as I talk to people, including this morning, folks are not happy with, you know, Democrats are not happy with the Democratic nominee, and same thing on the Republican side. And it, instead of pivoting, what you've seen is, Donald Trump is in Wisconsin earlier this week, and he's taking on the Republican governor, Scott Walker. Hillary Clinton, and again, she was pulled to the left because of Bernie Sanders. The race took a lot longer than anybody on the outside thought that it would. And maybe it was because of Elizabeth Warren or whatever. But instead of pivoting back to the center, she stayed to the left. And, of course, you've got these WikiLeaks reports that are coming out almost daily. And it is a choice that not a lot of people are anxious to make.
You mentioned that he won the Republican nomination fair and square.
Yeah, he did.
If he loses the general election, is that fair and square, or do you think that he's got some sort of legitimate claim about the election being rigged?
Well, you know, those are charges now that he's been raising the last couple of days. You know, certainly for me, I know my clerks. I know the state of Michigan. I know our attorney general and, you know, other officials that watch over elections. I have no reason to believe that our elections are tainted. I know that when I go and vote in the city of St. Joe, I go to City Hall. I show a driver's license to show that it really is me. If you don't have one, you sign an affidavit that it's you. And I got to think that there is very little voter fraud that's perpetuated out there. So I don't buy the thought that, my dad told me, you know, a workman doesn't blame his tools. You need to win an election based on what you want to do, your strengths. Often you recognize your weaknesses, but your ability to connect with voters of all ages, of all stripes, and you talk about what you can do, and that's what you ought to be focusing on versus, the polls are showing that I'm down and therefore the election is rigged. I don't think a lot of people buy that.
Congressman Fred Upton, as always, thank you for your time.
You bet.
Congressman Fred Upton is seeking re-election in Southwest Michigan's 6th Congressional District. Links to the interviews with the other candidates in the 6th Congressional District, Democrat Paul Clements and Libertarian Lawrence Wenke can be found at WMUK.org.